You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily podcast on the Minnesota Timberwolves, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Welcome, 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 ladies and gentlemen, to another Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. As always, your host here, Colt Molesky, bringing you daily Timberwolves content. Make sure to check out that content at the Locked On Wolves fan rig website to check out written content as well as prior podcasts. Also, check out my Twitter feed at C Molesky, M-O-L-E-S-K-Y, to check out. I have postings of podcasts. I have stories that I've written up there. I'm updating you, stuff I'm seeing in games, all kinds of stuff. Go check that Twitter feed out as well. You can also send me questions if you have any questions on the Timberwolves or the podcast or about myself. Anything like that, as long as it's appropriate, I'm totally willing to answer it on the podcast. Today, we're going to be, we got a full schedule today for the show. We're going to be previewing game five, that's going back to San Antonio in the Toyota Center. The Rockets have a chance to wrap up the series and win it 4-1 over the Timberwolves. That's game five tonight. We're going to be talking and previewing about that. We're going to be talking about the NBA as a whole. We have a lot of teams wrapping up their series. We have some series that are just starting to really heat up. We have a lot to talk about in the NBA playoffs. We're going to try and pick out some things that have surprised us, some players that we really like, some things that we're expecting to happen as the first round continues to plug on. And before I do all of that, the managing editor of Dream Shake, the Rockets SB Nation page, Ethan Rothstein, has been kind enough to join me a second time in 2 weeks. Ethan, thank you so much for coming back on the show.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thanks for having me again.
I'm really excited for this game. I don't know why. I don't know why after getting shellacked in a third quarter, 50-20 in game four, why I'm excited for this game, but I just think it's that I really like watching the Timberwolves in the postseason, and I'm going to, damn it if I'm not going to enjoy it while it's still there. We have game five tonight, like I was mentioning. This one seems like it's going to go in the Rockets' favor. It seems like we've been building towards the Rockets collectively getting better. You had James Harden come out big in game one. You had Chris Paul big in game two. You had a down game for the team in game three, and then they came back. Chris Paul and James Harden had a really great combined effort, and then you had guys like Eric Gordon, Trevor Ariza having their first really good games of the series in that game as well. It all seems to be building towards a game where you have everybody chipping in for another big win. What are your thoughts on Game 5, and what should we expect?
I'm with you, man. I'm excited for the game, and I support the attitude that just watching your team in the playoffs is fun. because, you know, I had a long, there was a long stretch of being a Rockets fan where the Rockets are not in the playoffs, so I emphasize. You know, it's kind of tough at this point, really. I expect the Rockets to win. I expect James Harden and Chris Paul to play more like they did in games one, two, and four, you know, which is to say well, unlike game three. But, you know, after the first four games of the series, when we really had no, there was just no consistency from game to game, didn't know which team was going to show up, which form the players are going to show up. So it's, even though you feel like, as a Rockets fan, the second half of game four, really the team started to figure it out, started to find a rhythm, started to play the way they had when they rattled off, you know, 14-game win streak, 17-game win streak in the regular season. And I'm not ready to just declare that they figured it out and everything's going to be fine now. Mostly because we only have really one quarter to suggest that it is. I mean, the Wolves outscore the Rockets by 12 points in the fourth quarter, even though the Rockets starters inexplicably played for most of that quarter. Understandably so, the starters took their foot off the gas, and that was very evident. But the first half was ugly. The Rockets were winning by 1 point. You know, if the first half had ended 3 minutes earlier than it did, then the Wolves would have been winning. So I'm not confident that the Rockets are going to come out like gangbusters again. I do think they're going to win, just because there's so many different avenues to win, and it seems like the only way the Wolves have been able to pick a game is if all of the Rockets and the players play poorly. And that is something I don't think is going to happen.
You talk about they have a lot of avenues to win this game. I've been working on an article. It'll be out tomorrow for the MSC Reporter, but I've been working on an article kind of about that and really mulling over this idea. And the idea, namely, is that the Timberwolves have made the Rockets look like a championship team. Now, it's not as much of a knock on Minnesota as you would think it is, but the primary premise is that the Rockets last year would not have won this series in five, and we're assuming that they win tonight. So that's an assumption, a little bit of an assumption, but we're assuming that they win tonight. I don't think the Rockets win this series in five games last year, because I don't think they have as many ways to win last year. Obviously, Chris Paul being there helps, but I think that James Harden is a different kind of player than he was last year. I think he's a better player even than he was last year, and last year was incredible. I think that the additions of Gerald Green and Chris Paul are huge, but I think that Gerald Green kind of goes under the radar as a really important bench player. Chris Paul being on the team not only helps because he's a really good player, but also because you can keep Eric Gordon more on the bench so he can be more of a six-man role and more of a true six-man role and not have to play as many 30-minute games. You have Trevor Ariza stepping up in spots. You have Clint Capella. He's a better player. This team is just not built around 40-point James Harden games anymore, which it felt like it was more built towards last year. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. And, I mean, to further your point, all of that stuff is true, but all that stuff goes into the fact that James Harden is more rested this year. I mean, last year he completely collapsed in the Spurs series. You know, and there's a lot of arguments that came out about why that happened, but, you know, the most obvious thing was that he was just doing too much all year long. I think he played in 81 games. He had fought through injuries, and this year he rested when he was hurt. He had the lowest minute total of his career since he came to Houston, which is really like a different career for him, basically, from when he was in Oklahoma City. So now, moving forward, you're not worried about the load. You're not worried about, you know, what happens if it's an overtime game against a really great perimeter defender. And last year, that happened, and Harden just ran out of gas. And this year, Harden has gotten better the more games have gone along. I mean, that in game one, he took the team across the finish line. In game four, he had 22 points in the third quarter. He's fresh, and he's ready to do what the moment necessitates rather than needing to do everything to get to the moment and then not be ready to take it across the finish line.
No, yeah, I think that it all everything that the Rockets have done throughout the year and in the playoffs have made them look more like a contender than they ever did last year. And you still have people who say, well, the Warriors are still in the NBA. But this is a more – first of all, the Curry injury is a lot bigger than I think people give it credit for. But this is kind of the year of imperfect teams. It doesn't look like anybody is really flawless, kind of like the Warriors did a couple years ago or even last season. This is not the season of the infallible NBA teams. All the teams have a chink in the armor. And so when you're looking at the Western Conference, if the Jazz continue on, they have some young players that they're leaning on. If we have the Pelicans, who are a pretty shallow team, you have the Warriors, who have their injuries, and their bench has not looked as good as it did last year, and they still have the All-Stars, but now they're going to have to lean on them more heavily and more consistently. You just have every team has a little thing, and even if it's like the Warriors, who you have four All-Stars when Curry's healthy, but you don't know how he's going to return, and you have a bench that's weaker for them, even if it's things that may seem little, it's still more than you had last year. And so in that kind of NBA playoff spectrum, I think that the Rockets that we've seen against the Timberwolves, and I think the Rockets that you'll see tonight, are good enough to get to the finals.
I totally agree. I mean, the Warriors, even though they finished up their series against the Spurs last night, at no point did they look like, oh my God, this is a juggernaut. And maybe that's because the Spurs were so thin, so old, and at no point did you feel like, man, the Warriors really need to turn it on here, even in the game they lost. So maybe against the Pelicans, which are a much stronger opponent than the Spurs, especially the way they played in the first series, maybe that'll bring it out of them. But I don't think Steph Curry is going to be coming back at the beginning of that series, at the very least. The last word from Steve Kerr was that he wasn't coming back, quote, anytime soon. You know, that's deliberately vague, obviously. I think the assumptions everyone has been making is that he'd be ready for the conference finals. But the Pelicans are really good, and the Warriors are going to have their hands full with Anthony Davis and Jrue Holiday. But that being said, I agree. I think the door is open for the Rockets. And all year, watching this team, you can see that the only thing that's going to really get in their way before, you know, a four All-Star Golden State team is themselves. Mm-hmm. And that almost that's happened so far this series when they've lost games, when the games have been tight. It's really they're not playing their style. They're going way too heavy on isolations. They're missing open shots. You know, in game three, they abandoned a lot of their defensive principles, maybe because they were deflated and they were on the road. It was their first really hostile environment in a long time. But they have all the tools. They have, as you said, all the avenues to victory that any team could want. And it's just really getting out of their own way, playing free, playing their style. And then they're as good as anyone, and I'll include Warriors in that. The only thing is the Warriors still have the mental edge over the Rockets, which really cannot be overstated, you know, in the playoffs until the Rockets can get there. I mean, if they face the Warriors in the conference finals or whoever in the conference finals, that'll be the first time Chris Paul has ever gotten there. And, you know, the next series, I'll be really watching, you know, again, assuming the Rockets win, I'll be really watching how he plays, how he responds to the moment, knowing that, you know, he is right up against his career barrier, and that knock in him that he can never make the conference finals. We'll see how he responds. It might need a heroic James Harden performance because Chris Paul might will. I don't think it'll happen, but it's certainly within the realm of possibility. And that's one of the things that, in theory, could take the Rockets down if their best players, you know, shrinking from the moment.
So we're in agreement. This is probably going to be the finish of this series. Again, Timberwolves fans, I think the best course of action is just to enjoy watching your team in the playoffs for another game while it still lasts, and enjoy seeing the Minnesota representation in the playoffs while it's still there. We're going to get to a quick break for some sponsors before we dive into more NBA playoff conversation. There's a lot of stuff going on in the NBA playoffs right now. Obviously, it's not just the Rockets and the Timberwolves. We haven't talked about it in a few episodes just because so much is going on in the Rockets-Timberwolves series, and obviously this is a Timberwolves show first. But I did want to update people on what was going on with the NBA playoff picture. So the other night you had, you mentioned the Warriors ended their series against the Spurs. The Miami Heat also were down by the Philadelphia 76ers. They win their series in a gentleman's sweep 4-1, and they are going to advance onto the second round. You have the Boston Celtics taking a 3-2 lead over Milwaukee. If you're looking at some of the teams that have ended their series, and you have the Utah Jazz really right there on the edge of ending their series as well. They're up 3-1 on the Thunder with Game 5 that is going down tonight. Which group of rookies or young players really surprised you the most so far? Do you have the Philadelphia 76ers who are advancing to the second round already, or is it the Utah Jazz and Donovan Mitchell with the potential to go to the second round tonight against the Oklahoma City Thunder?
That's a great question. I guess the Jazz have surprised me a little more, but really I'm not that surprised by either of these teams. They both have a lot of talent, and they both have a lot of veterans. I mean, Mitchell's young, but Joe Ingles isn't, Rudy Gobert isn't, Derek Favors isn't, Ricky Rubio isn't, even though it's his first playoff experience. You know that he's a guy who steps up in big moments, as he's done in the Olympics and in the runs that the Wolves have had in previous years. And in Philadelphia, I mean, they closed the season on a 16-game winning streak. They were the hottest team in basketball. The Jazz were the other hottest team in basketball. They're just good, and they're confident. And I'll be really fascinated to see what happens. I think the Celtics, now that Marcus Smart is back in the picture, are going to close out the Bucks. And they're such a disciplined, physical team that I'm fascinated to watch the matchup with the Sixers. But, you know, both of these teams have a ton of talent. I'm not too worried about the Jazz against the Rockets, assuming the Jazz close out their series, just because I think they're a much better matchup for the Rockets than even the Thunder. Or you could argue the Wolves. I mean, obviously we know the Wolves were a pretty terrible matchup for the Rockets, but they're a great offensive team. I see no way the Jazz have the offensive firepower to keep up with the Rockets. But I'm impressed with both of them. And I think that's been the craziest thing about Mitchell and Simmons all year is that they don't play like rookies at all. They play like NBA vets. They have unbelievable demeanors. They make great decisions in the biggest moments. And that's been the case all year. And you know, for Simmons, it just goes to show what happens when you have a year around an NBA franchise. And for Mitchell, I don't think he was a one-and-done guy. And say what you want about him, but there's Malcolm Brogdon. The more players play basketball or around basketball, the more ready they are in the big moments. So it's not a shocker that this rookie class, which has a little more basketball experience than previous rookie classes, is a lot stronger, especially in these playoff series.
No, I've been impressed with all the rookies. I really love Donovan Mitchell. Have liked him for a long time already.
Shout out to OG Anunoby, by the way, in Toronto, who is like the rookie who gets no love whatsoever in terms of all this. But he's a starter on a number one seed, playing great defense. Against the Wizards, he is not the reason that series is 2-2. But he's also a great rookie.
I think
does not get enough credit.
That's absolutely true. You got rookies literally scattered everywhere throughout the playoffs. Is it fair, though, to say, now, again, the series is not over. They play tonight. You could have Oklahoma City miraculously pull out a win and then try and finish out the series strong against Utah. But if they don't, and right now even, at down 3-1, is it fair to say you're more concerned with the Thunder's performance than you are impressed with Utah's? Because I think that's where I sit right now on that series.
I'm not surprised by the Thunder's performance. I guess I'm more surprised that Utah has been able to make enough shots to win. But, I mean, the Rockets played the Thunder last year, and even though they didn't have Paul George, the same thing happened, which is that they got Rush shot them out of the game. The team has no rhythm. The team really has – once they're down in the fourth quarter, it's basically over. They lost in five games in the first round last year to, as we've already discussed, an inferior Rockets team. And they, you know, they're just not built to win playoff games because they have no adjustment. You know, it's just Russell Westbrook attacks and everyone else kind of figures their way out. Russell Westbrook is not going to adjust his mentality, which means there's no adjustment the rest of the team can make to fix things. So if they're not winning this way, they have no other recourse to win a basketball game. So I'm not shocked that they're losing this series. Yeah, exactly. I mean, Russell Westbrook is in sixth gear all the time. And he is the center of gravity of that team, and everything orbits around him. So if he's not going to change, then no one else can change what they're doing around him because he has the ball in his hands at almost every moment. So, the Thunder, they're just not built to win in the playoffs because teams need to be able to make adjustments. They need to tinker with their lineups. They need to tinker with their matchups. They need to tinker with their pick-and-roll coverages and schemes. And, you know, I just don't see the Thunder doing that, because their best player does not change anything for anyone at any time.
Last thing I wanted to get to before we head out here, talking about the playoffs with Ethan, talking about a bunch of different playoff teams. We were talking about the Western Conference a lot. Wanted to switch over and switch gears to the Eastern Conference before we head out here. If I gave you $500 to bet on a team tonight, and I told you had to bet on the Pacers to win, or the Wizards to win just tonight, where are you putting that $500? Both these teams are on the road, by the way.
Yeah. I'll probably say the Pacers just because I have no idea what the Wizards are going to do.
I don't think the Wizards know what the Wizards are going to do.
No, they certainly do not. And the Pacers play hard every night. The games they've lost have been close, so I think they're a stronger team. The Cavs are worse than the Raptors, so I'll take the Pacers. But I would prefer to bet that $500 on the Rockets.
No, yeah, I will not let you bet against the Timberwolves on this show. But I have been impressed with the Pacers. I know that they're tied in a 2-2 series, but they're going against LeBron James, and the LeBron James of the playoffs is not the same LeBron as the regular season. He becomes this grim reaper in the playoffs that is out for everybody. But they've been able to kind of weather the storm of some of his games, and I've been really impressed with the play of Oladipo. I really like Miles Turner, and I thought that he has been really good in spots in this series and think he can even have a bigger impact if he makes a couple more plays a game. And there's not really a guy that can really guard him outside of LeBron. And so I like some of those guys on that team, and I think they've made this series really interesting. And on the flip side, I really love Washington-Toronto just because it's just uber talent that wants to just throw itself at high speed at the game in Washington versus a really good system in Toronto.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, the thing that I think has struck me about this playoff is that with the exception of Celtics-Bucks, all of these series have been great. Even Cavs-Pacers, which has had probably the second ugliest basketball, the basketball is really high quality. I mean, the coaching is just it's really at a higher level in this playoffs than I've ever seen it. Just the in-game adjustments, the quick lineup changes, the matchups and everything. I'm most excited to see that Pacers-Cavs series just because, you know, a game five in the first round that LeBron absolutely needs to win is just, you know, it's probably the series that feels the most like a history changing one. Like the league will fundamentally shift if the Cavaliers lose that series. Mm-hmm. So I think that's the highest stakes one. Oklahoma City, kind of the same way, but it's not a 2-2 series. I don't see them winning three straight games against Utah, especially with another game in Utah coming up if they make it to game six. So the Cavs-Pacers one is the one that with the most intrigue, because if the Cavs lose game five at home in the first round, there's going to be a lot of questions. Even if they come back and win the next two, you know, that's a lot of minutes for LeBron just to get out of the first round. So that to me has the most historical intrigue, because who knows where LeBron's going to go next year. But every game feels like it's less and less likely that it's going to be in Cleveland.
If the Cavaliers lose in the first round, just don't turn on ESPN. Turn off your phone settings so that you don't get sports updates, because they're all just going to be stories about where LeBron is going to go over the summer. Just, I'm telling you right now.
No one will cover the playoffs anymore. It will not matter.
It's just all going to be coverage on that. Anytime he sneezes, they're going to check where the Kleenex was made and where the handkerchief was made, and if that has an indication on where he's going. You don't want to be a part of it. Just focus on watching the basketball. Turn off your updates on your phone, because it's going to be a mess.
It's going to be
the full coverage, the full presidential coverage. That's it for us. Remember to watch the game tonight. Remember to go on to the Dream Shake to check out articles getting you prepped for the game. Go on to the Locked On Wolves Fan Rake site for articles and podcasts to get you prepped for the game. And hey, Meek Mill's free. That's all I got to end on. thanks to the listeners for tuning in to another Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.